stat. And look at that. There is another literary scandal. This time, Granta, one of the most prestigious magazines that still publishes literary works in the world, now has accusations that one of the prize winners for their Commonwealth Foundation Prize, or the Commonwealth Short Story Prize, is AI written. And I have a few things I want to go over with this, but I think this will take up the whole episode. And I think it's worth talking about because I noticed that most people are not talking about what the actual problem is here. And it's actually pretty funny that people are scrambling to defend this in some way as well, which is, I mean, of course they're just scrambling to defend this. I mean, it's an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment to the magazine, to anyone that judges work. And I'm looking at it right now. It's actually funny here. So because this story that was accused of AI, I'm seeing it right now here on Granta's website. The Serpent in the Grove by Jameer Nazir. There's actually a little note here before the story starts. Man, this, yeah. And the little text is, in partnership with Commonwealth Foundation, Granta presents the regional winners of 2026 Commonwealth Short Story Prize. Jameer Nazir's story is the winning entry from the Caribbean. And then there's an additional note that they've added since this scandal broke. It says, since 2012, Granta has hosted the winners of the Commonwealth Short Story Prize on our website. Granta editors were not involved with these stories or their selection beyond copy editing them upon receipt. This year, there has been speculation that some of the stories may have been at least partially AI generated. The suggestion that writers have submitted material not authentically their own is a charge we take seriously. But until definite evidence comes to light, we will keep these stories on our website. Interesting. Interesting way to put this. Oh boy, this is huge here. So we have, I got an article in The Atlantic about it. I've got an article that looks a little shittier in Futurism. And I've got the New York Times was a story that just won a literary prize. Was a story that just won a literary prize AI generated? And apparently Granta did not respond to questions sent by the Times before the publication of that article, which was 4 days ago. And we're recording this on May 24th, 2026, listeners. But that is, of course, they actually have a very bizarre response. So I think this was all sparked. Was this a Reddit thing or was this on LitHub? So there was, okay, something in LitHub. At LitHub, where we have a prize-winning story published in Granta was very likely written by AI, and this was published on May 19th. Oh, Jesus Christ, this article sucks too. Written by Brittany Allen. Who is this person? It's another grim day at the human factory. What? What a terrible first sentence. There is strong evidence to suggest that a prize-winning short story published this week in celebrated literary magazine Granta was entirely generated by AI. Jameer Nazir's The Serpent in the Grove was published in Granta in partnership with the Commonwealth Foundation Short Story Prize, which annually recognizes unpublished fiction from around the British Commonwealth. Nazir's story, which follows a rum-drinking farmer who comes across an enchanted grove, was the recognized entry from the Caribbean region. A set of judges chaired by award-winning novelist Louise Doty appreciated the story's precise yet richly evocative language and selected the piece as a regional finalist from a whopping class of 7,806 entries across the board. Okay, so there's all this stuff. Again, everybody who's checking that it's AI keeps running it through AI fucking programs. And I can't say how terrible that is. That's not the way to do this. AI says almost everything is AI. That's the reason I say, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. But anyway, it says this fucking Wharton professor ran the story through some fucking program that detects AI writing with 99% accuracy. It says it has an extremely low false positive rate, and the serpent in the grove came back with 100% red flags. The award-winning author has also proven hard to locate in meat space. Oh my God, this is a serious article in meat space. Jesus Christ. All right, whatever. Nazir's bio identifies him as a Trinidadian writer of East Indian heritage whose work explores the cultural intersections of the Caribbean and the Indian diaspora. Oh, there it is. 4 days ago, the Jamaican Observer reported that he is 61, but there is remarkably little else to his digital footprint. He said in 2018, Nazir appears to have self-published this book of inspirational poems, but he has no other published work that his reader could detect using the good old-fashioned internet. And on his LinkedIn page, he is a frequent AI evangelist. Generative AI won't replace good leaders. He claims in a recent post, it will expose poor ones. Yeah, and there's all this stuff about the tells. So on close reading, the winning story does have a few tells style-wise. Nazir favors parallelism. Oh my God. All rhetorical devices, blah 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 blah. So we have this little passage that is supposedly is being accused of being AI, or one of the many passages. And this is from the story, The Serpent in the Grass. Again, what a title. What a fucking title, right? I mean, and I'm being sarcastic, listeners. I'm saying that that's a terrible title. The Serpent in the Grove. Like, this is fucking garbage. Garbage title. All right, the passage reads, Wilfred's rum shop leaned into the road like a rotten tooth. Inside, boards blackened by smoke and sweat, the air sweet with cane and forgetting. Coins meant for rice or kerosene slid across the counter and came back white rum hot as apology. One drink opened the chest. Two turned fear into courage's cheap cousin. Three steadied the hand enough to write the future in invisible ink. Something about how these are strange similes. And I mean, just listen to what is this saying? This is describing the rum shop. Inside, boards blackened by smoke and sweat, the air sweet with cane and forgetting. Coins meant for rice or kerosene slid across the counter and came back white rum hot as apology. Okay, so this one, hot as apology, terrible. One drink opened the chest, two turned fear into courage's cheap cousin. Yeah, and also it's a little convoluted here. It's not quite clear that we're moving from this to drink. Almost seems like people have said this that, yeah, the AI is trying to basically emulate Ocean Vuong. And this is, I mean, people, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to AI generation right now. I get a sip here. What it is the AI is pretty primitive here. It can give you kind of a B style paper, like college essay. But since most people suck at writing college essays, they think it's really good. Like, that AI is really good at this. And AI just scrapes the internet as of right now, mostly social media and Reddit and some of these other places that just have free stuff all over them that the internet, the AI model can scrape. And I trained some of these AI models for a while. They're terribly primitive, incredibly primitive. Everybody that thinks AI is going to like take over all these software writing programs, I think it's not. It's not. At least the stuff that they're letting human, like letting us, have access to right now. Okay, this is not great. All right, yeah, I'm done reading this one. But anyway, the reason that this AI thing sounds the way it does with that passage is because the internet and the literary establishment has crowned certain styles of writing like this as really good, even though it's not. So it's basically the AI trying to copy something like Ocean Vuong, which I think some people have pointed out here. All right, let's check out this Atlantic article because this one was published on May 21st. that covers it, and it's called, yeah, The Literary Eye Scandal Changes Every This Literary Eye Scandal Changes Everything by Vuani Vara. Okay. The scandal started the usual way. Readers noticed AI like prose in her written work and took to ridiculing it online. Some ran the writing through an AI detection platform that labeled it entirely AI generated. The institutions involved in its publication scrambled to figure out what had happened. The details in this particular scandal have to do with an all but unknown Trinidadian writer named Jameer Nazir. His story, The Serpent in the Grove, was among five regional winners of the Commonwealth Short Story Prize. The award came with 2,500 British pounds and publication on the website of Granta, a prestigious British literary magazine, pretty much the only prestigious literary magazine in England. Earlier this week, readers started gleefully tearing Nazir's work apart online, posting screenshots showing canned stylistic patterns and a proliferation of weird metaphors. Her hair is midnight rain, her laugh is bright as zinc. Wow. Her hair is midnight rain. Well, that's cliche right there. And her laugh is bright as zinc, read one line. I don't. Her laugh is bright as zinc. Okay. Yeah, you tell me that. Major milestone for. Blah, 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 blah. And then it says, okay, before long, we have people that are also other prizes in this that are being accused, other winners. And again, they're of course, Malta's John Edward de Macaulay and India's Sharun Arupurappalli. So it keeps going like this. And I mean, you know, this is gonna be the norm now, guys. Oh, Jesus, this Futurism's article by Frank Landy Moore. Published on May 20th. It says, top literary magazine offers bizarre response to accusations that it published an AI-generated story. And this is crazy. We'll get into the Granta's terrible response to this as well. The literary world is being torn asunder after a prestigious magazine was accused of publishing an AI-generated short story titled The Serpent in the Grove. The story was published Saturday by Granta. Well, we know that part. Judges praised the story, attributed to a writer identified as Jameer Nazir for its precise yet richly evocative language. But readers immediately noticed suspicious things about its prose. And again, the same thing about that fucking professor at Wharton. Yeah, and then it says, okay, yeah, right. All the AI hallmarks are there: negative parallelisms, lists of threes, turgid imagery, and nonsensical physical figurative language that seems a world apart from the precision the judges lauded it for. And of course, yes, nonsensical figurative language is probably the most accurate way to describe that story, and we'll read sections of it here in a minute. And then, okay, here's an example, right? Explain this passage, for example. She had the kind of walking that made benches become men. Or this, coins meant for rice or kerosene slid across the counter and came back white, rum hot as apology. Or hard living lays itself on a man like wet sacking. It never asked permission. And finally, he saw all of it in a knife second. None of these quite add up. There's an approximation of a vague image in each of them, but they don't come into focus. Because if the story is indeed heavily written by an AI, that's literally what the tech does. It provides a statistical approximation of human language. It doesn't understand what it's outputting. The puzzle piece may roughly fall into place, but the picture doesn't cohere. Strengthening the accusations is what sleuths dug up on the author Nazir, whose bio describes him as a Trinidadian writer of East Indian heritage. Little else can be found about him online, and his headshot provided on the Commonwealth Foundation website also appears to be AI generated. The controversy was not soothed by the response from the prize organizers and the publishers. Sigrid Rousing, the publisher of Granta, released a statement explaining that her team showed the short story to Anthropic's AI chatbot Claude and asked if it was AI generated. The chatbot explained it was almost certainly not produced unaided by a human, Rousing said. This response sparked yet more bafflement in the literary community. Why were Granta editors consulting AI? And what made them think a chatbot would be a reliable way of probing if something was AI generated? Yeah. And that's what I saw a lot of too, is I saw a lot of stuff this week about other people being like, oh, I ran it through Claude. I ran it through ChatGPT. I ran it through this other bullshit. And I'm just like, what does that prove? What the fuck does that prove? Like, I don't understand. I really don't understand what people are saying about this. But all right, we'll read the statement that they released in a minute here. But Granta, for its party, stressed that it played no role in choosing the story and has traditionally hosted the winners of the Commonwealth Short Story Prize. The story was only featured on its website, not the print magazine. And then Rizmi Farooq, Director General of the Commonwealth Foundation, said in a statement that the foundation was aware of allegations and discussions regarding generative AI, but said that no AI, generative AI, but said that no AI checkers were used in the judging process, calling the tools not infallible. She added that all shortlisted writers have personally stated that no AI was used, and upon further consultation, the foundation has confirmed this. Even if the story wasn't AI generated, many lamented that this is the kind of low quality material that gets wins prizes and gets featured in top literary mag journals these days, with some joking that it sounded like a literal parody of MFA Lit. Huh. Okay. Yeah, really baffling statement from Granta here, and I think it shows exactly what the problem is. Let's read it and then we'll talk about it. It says, for more than 10 years, Granta has published the winners of the Commonwealth Prize on our website. Granta editors have no control over the selection of the Commonwealth Prize stories, and nor are they involved in the choosing of the jury. This year, there has been speculation that Jameer Nazir's winning story, The Serpent in the Grove, may have been at least partially AI generated. We showed Claude AI the story and asked whether it was AI generated. The response was long, concluding that it was almost certainly not produced unaided by a human. It ended, however, on a cautious note. And here we have a quote from the fucking AI chatbot that they asked. They're just giving us a quote from the AI chatbot. That's part of their response. This, like, are you hearing me, listeners? That's part of one of the most prestigious literary magazines, like, responses. That is what their response is. They're putting out a quote from a fucking chatbot. Let's read the quote. The strongest evidence against pure AI authorship is the small number of passages that don't fit the pattern, particularly the Zungi morning greeting and the agricultural paragraph about the acre. Those passages carry the kind of off-shape specificity that models still struggle to produce unprompted. If the story has a human core, it is concentrated there, and the AI has been used to elaborate around it. Well, I guess that solves it then, right? It's really quite baffling to me that we're in this place. And this is what somebody thinks is like a legitimate statement about something, like a very serious allegation. But again, this is more serious than any of the fake political allegations that people have been making over the last decade. This is a real allegation about the art. And people will say this to me, but I mean, I've always been about the art. I've always only cared about the art. And I've criticized the wokeness and all of that because it doesn't care about the art. It cares about the politics. This is the same thing, and I'll get to that angle here in a minute, but let's read the rest of the statement. The intention of the Commonwealth Short Story Prize is to find writers from around the Commonwealth and bring them to global attention. It may be that the judges have now awarded a prize to an instance of AI plagiarism. We don't yet know, and perhaps we never will know. There is, however, a certain irony in the fact that beyond human hunches, AI itself is the most efficient tool we have for revealing what is AI generated. Is it? But the AI generated critique of these Commonwealth writers, more than one has been accused of basing their story on AI material, may conceivably itself reflect AI bias. Let's reread that sentence here because I don't understand it. But the AI-generated critique of these Commonwealth writers, more than one has been accused of basing their story on AI material, may conceivably itself reflect AI bias. Okay, so she's talking about the stupid quote that they have in here. Took me a minute. She's talking about the quote above this paragraph here. That's the fucking AI. AI bias. Again, we're talking about bias, right? Oh, bias by a fucking machine. The machine is biased. Okay. Again, I trained AI, and I'm just the stuff that people are saying about this is just insane, man. Bias, implicit bias training. implicit bias training, where you tell something that's completely unbiased, the machine, to be biased according to a certain set of political beliefs. And then, of course, this AI bias, right? Oh, it's bias. That's what it is. That's the problem. Total shrugging off of the problem. Time will tell. The suggestion that writers have submitted material not authentically their own is a charge we take seriously, but until the Commonwealth Foundation comes to a definitive conclusion, we will keep these stories on our website. Yeah, quoting AI as a response. These Reddit threads are pretty funny, and people are clowning on them. But before we get into reading some of this to prove my point, I'm going to lay out my thesis about this. So before I get into reading some sections from this actual story that is being accused of being AI, the sketchy shit is about this author. Again, I'm a relatively unknown author. Nobody knows who I am, so there's that. But my PIF photos online are not AI generated. And all that kind of shit. You can find a long history of me publishing over many years here. But the thing nobody is mentioning about this scandal is why the judges overlooked terrible writing. Why did they overlook this bloated purple prose? Ask yourself this: why? Why did every judge overlook this terrible writing, this terrible prose? If you're hearing this, it's because you are listening to the free public feed of Heavy Board. To get complete, uncensored, uninterrupted, full access to this podcast, become a subscriber at patreon.com/heavyboard. That's right, Heavy Board is made possible by subscribers like you. For less than one cup of coffee per month, you will receive private access to uncensored, full-length episodes, Jerk Shop, heavy bonus content, subscribers-only AMA episodes, bonus extended interviews, and more. Come join the conversation today at patreon.com/heavyboard. What was motivating them? Now, it could be, let's be generous, it could be that there were so few good submissions that there's only ever a handful that are really decent. I mean, somebody who's edited literary magazines, yes, almost everything you get is garbage. It's some, like, people have no idea what good writing is. And surprisingly, a lot of people who try to write it have no idea. But, whatever. And maybe this one was considered better than most of the other ones that they got from the Caribbean region. So, my theory on this, and it's the correct theory on this, is that the politics of this made the judges forego their judgment. And this is my thing, and everybody who listens to this regularly will know and understand what I'm talking about. The lack of taste and judgment. There is no real taste and judgment being made on a piece like this, with a bunch of editors reading it or judges reading it and then determining which stories are better than the others. In order to do that, in order to read 100 short stories and then list the top 10 that are just better than the other 90, you have to have taste and judgment. You have to have a taste and you have to know what it is, and you have to have judgment. So you have to understand what's good and bad and be able to determine that for yourself. And that is not very difficult for most people that are into this. It's very easy for somebody like me to read 100 short stories, and I can tell you very quickly after reading 100 short stories which 10 I think are the best out of the 100 and which ones deserve prize recognition. Okay. But in this case, that taste and judgment was put aside to conform to a political ideology that is hell-bent on fixing not just historical racism, but racism right now too. We're going to save the world from racism by publishing shitty short stories in this prize competition. That's literally what they believe. Now, you can tell me I'm crazy. You can say that I'm making it up. I'm not. That's literally what's motivating people to say these things, and who's motivating them, and who's motivating judges to publish stories like this, to think these stories are good. So it's because this guy is considered some type of oppressed brown person that the terrible prose in his story is being overlooked, and not just overlooked, awarded by blind fools, as far as I'm concerned. Let's just read a couple paragraphs. We'll skim through this. It's kind of long. But just so you guys know what I'm talking about. So it starts, they say the grove still hums at noon, not the bees' neat industry or the clean rasp of cutlass on vine, but a belly sound as if the earth swallows a shout and holds it there. People who pass keep to the track and do not look into the bush where the stone rings lie. Where the stone rings lie. I don't know what that means. Ask the oldest in the village and you'll hear some version of, it had a well there once and a woman. The grove ain't forget. Sun on galvanize is a cruel instrument. It beats until the roof talks back in a dry moan. The day the grove began to remember, the roof over Vishnu Muhammad's shack grown like a drum skin too tight for the heat. Inside, air clung thick as porridge skin. Ugh. Terrible image there. Damp earth, wood smoke, and the sour tang of fermenting cocoa. A soot-blackened lamp hung from a nail. No fan, no bulb, no hum. Only the thin light slipping between warped boards and the breath of hills holding their heat like a secret. Hard living lays itself on a man like wet sacking. It never asks permission. His eyes narrowed against the glare outside and the darker glare inside him. His eyes narrowed against the glare outside and the darker glare inside him. Okay, terrible line there. That would have made me. All right, who is this person? Old promises that never ripened, the ache where hope should live, a gnawing sense that land can own a man while making him swear the land belongs to him. It wasn't much land, an acre and a bit, hacked from government forests with cutlass and stubborn back. Coffee and cocoa leaned wild on a slope, blah, blah, blah. Sad little pootie, 3 years old, sun dark, bright eyed. Chased a yard fowl through dust. His laughter like water over pebbles. Laughter can cut a hush, not cure it. Water was half a mile away. Every drop hissed in the pan. Every drop hissed in the pan had been carried on somebody's spine. Vinishu thirsted for something else. She moved through that shop like heat through dry bush. They called her Zunji. Zunji. Maybe it was a name. Maybe Rain took a shape and decided to keep it. Okay. She had the kind of walking that made benches become men. There it is. Hair tumbling wild, addressed the caught, released light. Laughter with iron under it. Eyes that skimmed and did not land, as if what she wanted was elsewhere and she had to pass through men to get there. She wore the island's mixed bloodlines like a crown, African in the hips, Spanish in the cheekbone, East Indian in the hair when the rain kinked it. Carib in the way her gaze could bless and warn at once. I mean, it's definitely overwritten here. I don't want to read the whole thing here. I mean, but honestly, reading through here, it's everything that a literary prize would want to see, right? And I think there's definitely Ocean Vuong influence, and people have heard me talk about Ocean Vuong. Definitely won't go into it here. Or maybe I will, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, it's just overwritten. Like the metaphors are just kind of insecure. There's so much metaphor, there's so much clunkiness that it feels almost insecure. Reading it, which makes it kind of a chore to read, right? Like there's so much fucking figurative language that's really rather clunky, as you can hear me going through it. The ring of stone lay there where cocoa gave to bush, its mouth bordered with ply and chance. People said the British had dug those wells. When they tried to plant where forests wanted to be, older people said the British found a hole the island had dug for itself. Vishnu usually avoided it. Bush kept it. Snakes liked it. Air from it felt like a hand from a grave. He went there now. With the cutlass tip, he prized a plank. A cold air climbed his arms. Jasmine and rot braided tight. It was not empty down there. It was waiting. What was waiting? He cleared scrub in neat hours. For pigeon peas, he said, when said his eyes caught the flash of blade. She said nothing. He liked that silence. Another day he spilled a pail and grimaced at a taste he invented. Pipe water starting to seep by the old stones, he lied. Closer than that blasted road, aunt. The sun go cut you in two on that walk. Sitta paused. Her life had not given her. Again, that makes no sense to me, that thing I just read. So if it makes sense to you. Sitta paused. Her life had not given her much, but it had given her sense. She looked at the plank mouth and the cutlass leaning casual as if it had legs. Something coiled inside her chest. She turned to call Pootie. Play by Auntie Marcia, she told him. If she vex, say as me send you. Larsha lived two bends down. If the village had a mouth, it was hers. Big in the way of women who never apologized to furniture. She knew the ways of men hollowed by want until only one thing remained. She noticed the fresh cut path in the way. See, this stuff, it's this very vague until only one thing remained. What's the one thing? We don't know. It's a mystery because it's a fucking. It's not. It's overwritten. Like, we could literally cut this sentence off. We say she knew the ways of men hollowed by want would work better until only one thing remained. Just adds this vague kind of image, where it leaves the reader being like, what are you talking about? Until only one thing remained. She noticed the fresh cut path and the way land bore witness. People talk about bush like it dumb, but bush keeps memory the way hair keeps sense. Bush, people talk about bush like it dumb, but bush keeps memory the way hair keeps scent. I don't know if that's just a typo or if that's supposed to be the vernacular, because that seems to be the dialogue, but this part is clearly not dialogue. So again, it's kind of amateurish, right, to have something like that. People talk about bush like it dumb. So all of a sudden we have this kind of move into a certain type of talking, like kind of the, what would they call it, Caribbean patois. People talk about bush like it dumb, but again, that's the only sentence in this entire paragraph that has that style of talking. Everything else is standard English. So a little inconsistency there. That's not necessarily AI, that's just weak writing. You know what I mean? Particularly for editors like Grant to not catch it. I don't know. I mean, it just speaks to the state of the world, state of the literary world, at least. Okay, Marcia was shelling pigeon peas and thinking about a letter she'd promised to write for a mother whose son had been held for cussing a policeman. She heard nothing. That was the thing. Midday should hold pot noise and scolding in a child's quarrel. Silence in a village is smoke. It sneaks from something burning. She put down the pan and stood. She didn't hurry, not at first. The hush had a tilt. A room shifted half an inch. You know, what's interesting as I'm reading through here now that I'm thinking about it is that, you know, we've had Granta's, you know, publisher respond. We've had people commenting all the time, people clowning on this story. I saw endless, you know, things on Twitter about it. People pulling out paragraphs and talking about how shitty it is, which, I mean, if you read the paragraph, it is shitty. But, you know, I think this is also kind of like the noble savage porn. Right, which is a big thing in literature right now, the kind of noble savage porn. Everybody loves these kind of island Caribbean writers because it's this kind of poverty porn for people where they can pretend that these poverty-stricken people are super noble, blah blah blah, and this is an untold story that we've never heard before because the characters are brown, even though it's a story we've heard a million times. Like, this could have been written by Toni. Like, this almost sounds like a Toni Morrison story, a little bit, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, what are we gonna do here? There's a Substack article here. Let's see what the Substack one says. Oh, Lincoln Michael, Lincoln Michelle, whatever his name is. I see this guy on Twitter occasionally. He's got a big mouth. LLMs, so large language models, are revealing how low the bar is and lowering it even further. So yeah, this is pretty much it. If you subscribe to this newsletter, then you likely already know the big literary one. Granta Magazine published a story that is seemingly AI generated from an author with the seemingly AI generated author photo whose social media profiles are full of AI hype. The story of the serpent in the grove attributed to Mir Nazir was one of the regional winners of the 2026 Commonwealth. We know this part. Whether the story was written by AI, Claude said almost certainly involved AI, and that they were keeping the story online until Commonwealth Foundation finishes its investigation. I'm inclined to believe the story is AI generated because it is filled with the sort of literary nonsense, literally nonsensical metaphors that LLMs often produce. It reads quite similarly to the viral OpenAI metafiction story, but it's also true that humans also write nonsense prose full of incoherent metaphors. The real question is perhaps not how an AI story could slip past judges, but how a story this poorly written could win an award for its lyrical precision. Well, I mean, I know the answer to this question. The real question is not how AI story could slip past judges, but how a story this poorly written could win a literary award for lyrical precision. And I just explained that to you, listeners. The reason this story won an award, not just that it was published, but that it won an award for being so poorly written, is because they thought the writer was a poor brown person from an oppressed former colonized territory. That's why it won the prize. That is the only reason it won the prize. And I'm getting tired of people not admitting that's why it won the prize. Even this guy, Lincoln Michael, this guy, he can't admit it. He can't admit it. Because to admit that, to say that publicly, to write it into an article like this that people are going to read, opens you up to the accusations. And everybody knows what those accusations are. And it's, yeah, Nazi, racist, etc., etc. We all know the story. And it's boring at this point, frankly. It is boring. And it's you know what else it is? It's cowardly. It's cowardly at this point to not say what's causing this problem. It isn't that AI is so good at writing stories. It's that everyone has suspended their taste and judgment in favor of a political agenda that can never be achieved. We cannot solve racism and eliminate it from the earth beat through fucking fiction stories, through literary, like we just can't, it's not going to be possible. It's an insane thing to think. It's an insane thing to put energy behind. But here we are. So, you know, it keeps going. It's easy to make fun of the word salad sentences in this story, and well, I'm going to. We might as well have a few laughs while the slop flood drowns us. The story has many other issues, from incoherent narrative to language that's inaccurate for the setting, but I'll focus on the alleged lyrical precision that impressed the judges. If you ask him, he shrugs the way men shrug when feeling places a hand on the neck and says, "Be still." Classic kind of shrug. Yeah, I'm always shrugging when feeling grabs my neck and says, "Be still." Which feeling? Who knows? Any of them, I guess. In the hot hush, the grove held its breath and released it, small and entire, like a last stitch drawn through a wound that had finally decided to close. This is seemingly the emotional climax of the story, and honestly, one of the most confused sentences I've ever read. Yes, it is. How many metaphors are mixed here? The grove of trees releases breath like a last stitch through a wound that is being stitched, even though it decided to close itself. Got it. The girl smiled like sunrise over a sink. I did enjoy the surreal image I got of an enormous sink that covered the horizon. Oh, even one that I pointed out. They called her Zunji. Maybe it was a name. Maybe Rain took a shape and decided to keep it. She had the kind of walking that made benches become men. You could read the whole thing if you enjoy this kind of prose. Sadly, I must admit many do. When I wrote about the OpenAI story sentences not carrying any meaning, I experienced some pushback from readers who said, basically, who cares if sentences mean anything? If a story this poorly written can win an award, the issue isn't AI. Again, humans write word group too. The issue is a lack of standards, not just in literary publishing, as I've seen some try to claim. Remember the recent Shy Girl scandal was about a self-published book that was repackaged by a big publisher as commercial genre fiction. Yeah, and then this, yeah. One aspect of Shy Girls, though, suck me, was a defense from author Mia Ballard. Ballard claimed she hired an acquaintance to edit her book, who likely used AI. Oh, as a teacher, this is the excuse you'd always get. Oh no, I had a friend edit it, and they copied and pasted the AI into it. I've had students say this. So again, this is textbook excuse. She noticed the editor changed a lot of the wording, but said she didn't have time to read through the book and see what edits were made before publishing it. Apparently, she didn't have any time to read her own book in the many months before self-publishing it and republishing it with Hatchet either. But aside the question of AI, as well as whether this mysterious acquaintance exists, Ballard's defense is she blindly accepted extensive edits without even reading them, and plenty of people find this defense acceptable. Of course they do, because we have no taste and judgment. So again, he diagnoses what the issue is. The issue is a lack of standards, but those standards come from what? That lack of standards comes from what? What I just said. It comes from this political subjugation. So everyone is more concerned with the political subjugation, like adhering to the political ideology, trying to do this saving the world from racism bit, instead of the literature, and it's destroying it. And everybody says I'm crazy for this. Everybody calls me names, says I'm a racist, blah blah blah. I don't care. I'm right. I'm right, and everybody listening to this knows it. How low are the standards that I couldn't be bothered to read the novel I put my name on? Is it offense at all? That should be a scandal in itself. Here's another publishing AI scandal in the same, hey, now, am I really supposed to read my own work vein? The New York Times headline says it all. So it says, book on truth in the age of AI contains quotes made up by AI. An author of a nonfiction book called The Future of Truth couldn't be bothered to check the truth of his own book. The book was published with misattributed and invented quotes throughout. He's launching an investigation into how he was so lazy. The same low standards are being revealed all over the place. Over in academia, a lot of academics, mostly it seems economists, have been furious that people expect them to actually read the work they cite. Yeah, I saw a few of those as well. There are a bunch of people who are like, whoa, you read every source that you cite? It's like, oh my God, that's where we are. And people, however bad you think it is, it's worse. I'm telling everybody who's not in academia, it's worse than you think it is. It's so much worse. There was an update by some other author. Okay, and now there's this Kevin Jared Hosen, some writer online who is apparently spoke with this person entirely, spoke with Jameer, and he asked, "I wanted to ask you in your story, what does 'she made benches become men' mean?" And then Jameer's response is, "This is because of a nature she starts to see the benches in the room shop." Also, as men, so she is so deluded thinking that she is God's answer, as we say to men. She thinks no one can resist her, and then her deluded state converts everything to men who tries to win her attention. This is a real character who exists. I'm not sure why this explains anything. Okay, so supposedly this guy's real because one random person online DM'd him. I mean, I don't get it. But okay, let's pretend that everybody's doing this in good faith and it's not because he's just a, a brown guy. But yeah, all right. Who cares? I'm done caring. I'm done caring. But all right. So I'll keep doing these. I'll keep doing these for listeners. I'll keep doing little AI or, reactions like this, so on and so forth. I'll do that. And we'll see if you guys like it. Again, we'll be back to scheduled programming next week, but I thought this would be fun. So this has been another episode of Heavy Board.
Heavy.
Board.
Heavy.
I am heavy, heavy,
heavy
board.
such a lack of gratitude for life.
Bored.
I aspire to boredom, I should say.
Bored.
I am heavy.
Bored.
Has you night sweats and the day sweats, pal? Pal, I do.
If you're hearing this, it's because you are listening to the free public feed of Heavy Bored. To get complete, uncensored, uninterrupted, full access to this podcast, become a subscriber at patreon.com/heavyboard. That's right, Heavy Bored is made possible by subscribers like you. For less than one cup of coffee per month, you will receive private access to uncensored, full-length episodes, Jerk Shop, heavy bonus content, subscribers-only AMA episodes, bonus extended interviews, and more. Come join the conversation today at patreon.com/heavyboard.